ఓకే స్టార్ట్
అంగొట్టి నేను
అదే తాబయ్యా तू चीज बड़ी है मत बता रे
It's 6 in the evening in the night shelter under a footbridge that links busy Queen's Road to the Vankeda Cricket Stadium, the other side of the commuter rail lines into nearby Churchgate Station. Malgara Gopi and 30 or 40 of the street kids are here to make music. Jokin and Celine have just dropped in. Jokin's in a nostalgic mood. 30 years ago, almost to the day, he was doing the exact same thing himself.
Just that together with 10 to 15 boys, all of them age between 10 to 15. I'm the little older, above 18. We picked up the small throwaway oil boxes, oil dabba what we call, and started singing songs, all film songs.
Jokin had just arrived here from his native Bangalore. He'd settled in Janta Colony on the northern outskirts of the city over towards Tani Creek. It doesn't exist now. It was bulldozed off the map to make way for the Homi Bhabha Nuclear Research Institute. That's still remembered as an infamous story in the struggle of slum dwellers. Anyway, it was a Friday afternoon in October 1964, and Jokin and a bunch of kids started spontaneously combusting to film songs, just like Malgara Gopi and the rest are doing this evening, 30 years on.
While we start singing, we found there are about 25 to 30 audience, all the kids, 7 year, 10 year, all. Then you continue to sing. So it started around 4:30 in the evening, it went up to 7.
And the kids must have enjoyed it, because the next day it all repeated itself. Same time, same place, but this time, twice as many kids.
The third day, it was Sunday, I still remember. We started up around 10:30 in the morning. The program went up to 2 o'clock. It was a full gathering. Children, babies, little school going, then adult, then women. It's like a compound. And it's all crowd control, everything was done voluntarily by all those who were looking at. We are not doing anything.
Actually, I got that bit about Jokin singing a wee bit wrong.
That time also I could not sing, but I found the people, those who sing and those who can play these drums.
Even at the tender age of 18, Jokin's talent was really for organizing, for bringing people together.
So that is the beginning. And within a week's time of this music, we converted into night school, coaching class. Then it became a regular school. Then he started working, getting into development, so on and so forth. So I have this easy way of communicating to the children.
That is a gross understatement.
Wherever I've been, I've worked with these children. Little bit here and there, formally, informally. I happen to relate to a lot of orphan children, runaway children in the past. Delhi, Bangalore, Pondicherry, Madras, Bangladesh.
It wasn't really until Maila Milan had been formed and Jokin had come on board with the National Slum Dwellers Federation in the mid-80s that he started thinking seriously about organizing the street kids. UNICEF asked Spark, Maila Milan and NSDF to do a survey of street children. Jokin got Celine involved. They both agreed that any organization should be for the street kids and by the street kids.
It sounds like you applied the same principles to Maila Milan of letting them decide the shape and form.
We went to the payment dweller. It's like that you go to the street children where they are.
And you ask them what they want to do.
Yeah, make them to say what they want.
But basically, you're giving them the technical support they need, but they're deciding what they want to do.
Exactly.
Sounds sensible, but it hides a real kicker. If most of us were asked to devise a program to help street kids, What would our goals be? Get them back into school, teach them some skills so they can earn a living and develop some self-esteem, and try and reunite them with their families? Jokin says those are great ideas, but they contain one major flaw.
They're trying to make the other person into their own system, their own value base, their own understanding.
In other words, liberal social workers invariably try to make street kids into their own image. They try to give them middle-class values, and it simply doesn't work. Joaquin says it's perhaps the original sin in all development work.
When we started up Street Children, we said, we don't know what to do, but we know what we should not do. All the things we shouldn't do, we know very clearly. Like not to have a regular house, not to have attendance, not to ask them to clean, not to have them bath. All those things which we said the children will not like, according to our understanding, all what they should not do, we know.
Not taking a bath, not being clean, is very hard for us middle-class adults to accept.
Because that is what you feel, what you want. And I don't feel. I don't feel do anything like this. You feel for yourself. Where is the question of me? How can you tell me what I should do?
Imagine for a moment, you're a social worker committed to helping street children. You meet a dirty, tired, hungry boy, obviously in distress. What's the first thing you'd do?
The first thing what the urban poor, the payment dweller thing is that, oh, this guy maybe need something to eat. Or there's somebody to say hello to him. To check where is your father, when do you come, which is your place, they will inquire about. The other section of the society will, the government and the policymaker always think, why don't you send them home? Why he doesn't have a house? Why can't he go and stay in a hostel? Why can't he go and stay in a caretaker place? This is where there's a very big difference between the poor looks at the street children and the rich or the intellectual look at the children.
Celinda Cruz has been sitting quietly listening to the boys make music. She looks up. Have you ever read The Little Prince by Saint-Exupéry? There's a bit in it where the prince says, why do adults always ask me what my father does?
This is not their culture at all. It doesn't worry them. It doesn't worry what their fathers do or what their backgrounds are, and they have to create an impression. It's another scene altogether. And I think those are the kind of questions elite intellectuals worry about, you know, what is your family background, and don't you want to go back home to your mother, and oh, they must be waiting for you, and oh, your mother must be crying for you.
In fact, it's often the opposite, and it happens everywhere and all the time.
And mother must have been very happy the day that child left, simply because she was not able to give him the next meal. Like Gopi, his parents just left him at Igatpuri railway station. And he says, I saw the train go with my parents in it. I couldn't run after that train. So they just left me.
You have to try and understand them on their own terms and help them accordingly. Then maybe, and it's always a big maybe, something lasting might result. In the case of street kids, that also means remembering one other basic reality.
Because these are the children who on their own decided to set their own life. And they took a decision. They come out of a house. Now they will make a decision how to live. The decision which nobody can make. So they are the best decision maker. You have to provide them a chance to decide about it. Because you have to understand them, they know how to make decisions.
The other big myth is that you have to mold the child to fit back into society. And that is something that we strongly oppose. Because maybe the kind of lifestyle he's leading is the best for him with regards to his own survival.
I think this is something we may be able to endorse in the abstract. In the reality, it's a lot harder.
We never really respect the child for what he's already doing. Now, most of these children are at the bottom of the recycling industry, picking up scrap from street corners, from lanes. And I don't understand why we can't treat that as being an important job. Why is it looked upon as something that needs to be changed?
In Jokin's mind, tolerant doesn't mean anything goes, turning a blind eye to delinquent behavior. The street kids also have their own code of basic morality. Stealing or drugs are simply not tolerated. Jokin himself treats them pretty firmly, sometimes in ways that would make a Westerner wince. I've seen him give kids a good thrashing with his belt, or hang them up by their shirt from a nail on the wall. For Jokin, it's part of his broader philosophy. Treat the street kid with some basic human dignity.
Don't treat them as like a dirty, ugly one walking. Treat them as a part of the society. It's like the slum dweller living today. Today in all over the city, slum is accepted phenomena. So like the street children, should their living condition, their way of living, their way of behaving should also should be part of the whole overall society.
You just legitimize what they are doing. And that is the space that you're giving them within this society.
And the best people to help them are the pavement dwellers, because they share a similar culture and experience, and they're not the enemy. They're the next step up on the ladder. Some Sadak chaps start helping pavement dwellers in their business. They get in the habit of maybe eating with the family, then sharing their huts. And pretty soon, when they've got a steady income of their own, they settle down to a hut of their own. One Sadak chap on Peter Mellor Roads just got married to the daughter of a pavement family and gone to live with them. So for Jokin and Celine, it's obvious and logical to bring the two, street kids and pavement dwellers, together and to try and build on the virtues of their very specific street culture.
If a boy is sick, he will beg and feed him. Will our society does it? Definitely not. Here, if this guy may not have a proper shirt, he feels that guy needs a shirt for that moment, he will take out his and ask him to wear it and he will go walk on this. His values are entirely different, no? It's like that is how they eat at one pot, they sleep one on another, they put a leg on somebody's leg and somebody's head, somebody's hand in somebody's place and all. This is like
prawns.
I don't think, this is what one has to recognize. We don't recognize that side of it, recognize only the bad side of it. It's dirty, it's stinking, smelling, is not proper. It can teach any PhD scholar how to live.
Jokin says it's the easiest form of development work imaginable. Just be with them and let them be themselves and let them help themselves. One day, the night shelter here at Churchgate will be run entirely by former alumni. No development workers in sight. It's quite a thought. The jam session's almost over. Gopi launches into the final song, about how a street kid once caught by the remand home police is like a fly caught in hot oil. Doomed to thrash about and never to escape. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick in Mumbai.
ए भाग गया सर ए भाग गया कन्नाड़ी ए रुक जा मैंने